All right. It being 4:30, the Board of Public Works meeting is now called to order. Maybe we have a roll call, please.
Aaron Williams,
Present.
Lisa Stern, Alder Hugh Garrett,
Present.
Alder Lankella.
Here.
I saw Harold Cleams coming in. I'm not sure if he has audio yet.
Yes, he does.
Okay.
Here.
Okay. All right. Great. Tim Meisenheimer and Pablo Baxter are both excused tonight, and Michael Cullen.
I am here. Hey, you got me this time.
I did.
Well done. Do any board members wish to make any disclosures or recusals regarding items on the agenda this evening? Hearing or seeing none. Do we have anybody registered to make public comments for items not on the agenda?
We do not.
Do we have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting from November the 19th?
Move to
Motion
approve.
to approve. Second.
Got a motion with a second. Do we have any objections? Hearing or seeing none, motion is approved by unanimous consent. Alder Lankella, you look like you're in a vehicle of some sort.
That is correct. I got stuck on the traffic. I'll be in
Oh.
home soon.
Well, hopefully your reception holds. Let's see. No, there are no items on the agenda this evening that will require permits for potential impacts to water resources. The consent agenda this evening includes items 9 through 17 and 20 through 24. Do any board members wish to break any of those items out for further discussion? If not, do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Motion to approve consent agenda.
Second.
Got a motion with a second. Do we have any objections? Hearing or seeing none, motion is approved by unanimous consent. Item number 5, we've got Kyle Frank to talk about change order number 1 to the South Patterson Street Sanitary Sewer Project.
Good evening. Hopefully, you can hear me. I am Kyle Frank with City Engineering. Change order here before us is for the Patterson Street Sanitary Sewer Replacement Project. The bulk of this change order was due to some different site conditions and then some misbid items. The different site condition that I ran
Hey,
into was.
do you have a copy of that you want to pull up?
Oh, yes.
Or
Sorry. Let me share that with you. Let's see. There, that's coming through now.
and then if you could just make it a little bigger.
How's that?
That is great.
Perfect. All right. So the different site condition that we ran into on Patterson was an existing abandoned railroad tracks that were under the pavement, paved over that we did not know about. So items 001, 002. And then item 40205, as well as some of the contaminated soils, have to do with that different site condition. When they were put in the sanitary sewer, we came across it and we made a decision to basically pull it out from the roadway area, and get it outside of the right of way. So it was ended up being, I think, roughly 50 feet of two tracks to get that out of the right of way and clean that up so that a future project will not have to deal with it. So along with that, there was the track removal. There was an old casing pipe that ran underneath the tracks that housed some utility in the past that was no longer in use. So we removed that. And then we restored the street back with obviously pavement, but then curb, some sidewalk, and then terrace restoration, so topsoil seed matting and all that. So that was, like I said, those top two items, and then those bottom two items had to do with that. And then the inlet protection was additional quantity that we needed The way the contract was set up is we allowed them to do some work in the fall of 2024. And as part of that, they included some inlet protection that was not accounted for on the bid items for that potential scenario. So those additional inlet protections was for the work last fall. And then we had the inlet protection for when they restarted back in 2025. So with that, the whole change order then comes to that $44,428 and some change, or roughly about 6.68% of the contract.
All righty, any questions for Kyle? Aaron.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Maybe this is for Kyle or for Jim, not sure. But there's nothing in the front end specs that would sort of account for railroad tracks. I'm thinking large rocks, unanticipated abandoned utility lines. Like a GC can come back and request additional funds for that sort of stuff.
So something like this that was unknown, yes. When you're talking like boulders or something like that, a lot of times that'll get picked up in our soil borings, and they will account for it. And as long as those are showing up in our soil borings, we would not necessarily pay for it. But with this not being shown on the plans or not known, we considered it a different site condition. We certainly could have potentially gone a different way of leaving them in, but that still would have been some additional work associated with that. And then the cost would have had to have been incurred on a later project. So let's say when we come back to reconstruct the street in a couple of years, we'd have to do that work anyways, and likely it would cost, if not the same, probably more, just because it's future costs and costs go
Okay.
up. So in general, when we come across something like this, that's not typical. We like to just clean up the right of way at that time, and I'll say bite the bullet and just deal with the cost now rather than higher costs later.
Okay. And that'd be the same for abandoned utilities that aren't identified on a survey or
Yes.
something, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Yes. Thanks for cleaning it up. Appreciate it.
Hey, Kyle, on that inlet protection, where you had it in the contract that they could come back at a later date to finish up. In that scenario, have included that inlet protection if they had to take it out and then put it back in again, if they're an option?
You're kind of cutting in and out there, Michael. I think I'll try and rephrase or
Oh, okay.
the question. So
Yeah,
I
I think I
believe the
got
question
a bit of
was,
a bad connection here again, but
could we have installed that and left it in over the winter and kind of reused it then in the spring? Is that a summary of the question?
I guess my question would be, they had part of the contract, they had to put it in and then eventually take it out. And then you gave them the option of coming back at a later date. Now, when they decided to go with that option, shouldn't they have included putting that back in and taking it back out again? Because you're letting them do that.
I think the option, well, that would still would have been double work for them. If we would have written into the spec that was the case, that we're going to pay for the inlet protection once, even if you have to remove it, if you come in and do the work up front, if we had a special or some kind of spec written up that way, then certainly that would have been the case. Unfortunately, I did not
Oh,
do
okay.
that. So, because it was just a regular standard bid item, we didn't include that provision.
Gotcha. Okay.
We're on the hook for it.
All right. Then the second question would be, what'd you do with the rails?
That's a great question. I believe that they were landfilled, hauled out and landfilled.
I'm just wondering if you could have salvaged those some way.
Potentially, I guess I don't know.
Hey,
I
I bet you
know one of
Lisa
our,
knows.
yeah.
Maybe you could
Yeah.
sell them back to the railroad or something.
Well, you probably can't sell them back to the railroad, but they generally have a pretty high salvage value because that's iron, steel. So,
Right.
yeah, I suspect the contractor salvaged them unless they were, yeah. Even
So
if there's
it certainly
even
could
if
have
there's
been.
like asphalt and stuff, they probably were able to clean it up enough and
I guess the
sell it.
question becomes then, I wonder if the city got credit for that. The contractor gave you a cost to take them out, obviously. You should have asked him about that.
I should have, and I suppose we still could. I'm gonna suspect that they would say that that was built into the cost, that they took that on the back end, right? But we could certainly ask them.
Right. All righty. And then the third final question would be contaminated soils. Is that just petroleum-based contamination or?
Yeah, in this area, I believe it was petroleum-based, and then some of the contaminated soil was also due to the existing railroad corridor. So there was some cinders and different things tied with the railroad disposal that factored into that as well. That was a little bit different than the initial contaminated soil that we had identified.
Gotcha. All right. Any other questions for Kyle? If not, do we have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Got a motion with a second. Do we have any objections? Hearing or seeing none, motion is approved by unanimous consent. Are you up with us again here, Kyle?
I sure am.
All righty. Change order number one. Asphalt base patching,
Now, let me switch
item
over.
number six.
Is that large enough now?
Yep, that looks good.
Okay. So for this change order, this was with our patching contract. It's a citywide contract where we go around and patch old bad pavement, either from water utility, water main breaks, things like that, or different pavement sections that we can grab citywide. This change order mainly had to do with some additional water-based patching that we didn't anticipate when the contract was let, but we had the bid items and water had the need, so they asked us to include it with this contract this year rather than waiting. So that CI-003 is all of those water, additional water patches. And then with the contract, we did not have pavement markings associated with it, and we did some additional patching in the Anderson Wright intersection, as well as Speedway Road and Regent Street. And so those, the top item and the bottom item are for the additional pavement markings associated with that additional patching work. We had enough quantity already in the bid to cover the actual patches, but we did not have the bid items for the marking. So those markings were for some epoxy street lines and different things associated with those intersections. So yeah, the whole change order then came to that 95,000.
Any questions for Kyle on this one? Hey, Kyle, is it for the future for next year? Would it make sense to have a bid item for marking?
So yeah, we discussed that about throwing in some undistributed. Ideally, we'd be able to identify it ahead of time and throw those in if we have some patches that we know we're going to need the markings with. But yeah, we're talking either throwing in some undistributed
Right.
amount or potentially doing a separate contract for the markings themselves. Ideally, traffic would get their own paint crew, epoxy paint crew, and they could go out and do it themselves. But at this point, we're not at that stage. So
If
but
you
yeah,
did,
there was talks this year.
right. If you did add a bid item for markings, how would you do that? Would you do it per or something, or
Sorry, you're cutting in and out again. I didn't catch that.
Dang. Maybe I'll have to get a better, different laptop here
I think
for
I
markings.
can. I'm going to take a stab at guessing. I think most of our pavement marking items are like by the linear foot of paint, essentially. So there's probably enough or a handful of generic ones, like a 4-inch solid white and, the double
Oh, I see.
yellow, just kind of some of those standard ones that we could include and assume we're going to have to do to a certain extent too. But I think, like this Anderson Wright one too has some of that green bike marking going through it, which is part of the reason why that's so expensive, because that green stuff is, more costly than concrete to put down.
Right. Okay. Hopefully you can hear me. Thank you. If there's no other questions, do
Just
we
adjust when you
have
ask
a
questions.
motion?
Move
Any
to
other
approve.
questions? Aaron, you may have to take over here.
I think Alder Gear, you Gear, motion to approve. I'll
Yeah,
second that.
I did.
Maybe kill your camera chair. That might help.
Got a different laptop going here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right.
We have a motion in a second. And back to you for approval.
Any objections? We got a motion with a second. If there are no objections, motion is approved by unanimous consent. Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Sorry about that. Item number seven, we've got Steve White to talk about change order number 27 to Madison Public Market.
Good evening. How's everybody?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
27 change orders. That's a heck of a lot.
Sure is. Adaptive reuse, right?
Right.
See here. Sure. All right. Can everybody see this okay?
Yes.
Great. Okay, this is a change order number 27 for the Madison Public Market. The project is substantially complete, and we're anticipating there will only be one more change order following this, and that is a credit to the project.
Oh.
Yeah, go figure.
We'd like to see those.
Yeah, we have $140,432 remaining of the $1,199,000 160 contingency.
Hey,
And
could you
I'd like
scroll
to.
down just a little bit there, Steve?
Sure. How's that?
Yeah, that's good.
No problem.
Thank you.
A large amount of the contingency was used for two owner requests, the south curtain wall and also the south overhead doors, and that was about $400,000. Those two items were alternates on the original bid and were not taken. But after time passed and most of the demolition was completed, we estimated the project would likely not surpass the 8% contingency. And obviously, the board approved of those. I'd like to start with COR 59 right here, the added epoxy coating. This guy here. And that's in the amount of $22,807.64. This is added flooring epoxy for some concrete that the board already approved to remove And then when we did that, we have to put a coating back over this new concrete. So that's that one. The other ones are kind of co-related. Those were part of a change order. Well, there are multiple change orders, 58, 60, 61, 62, and 63. And they're for different vendor groups within the building. And each one of them, so 58 was for vendor group 133. And this was added shunt trip wiring to the gas valve, a reset switch, and add a fire alarm monitoring of the power for the primary alarm, along with the new shunt trip breaker. This is a requirement by the City Madison Fire Department, and the plans did not include this in the scope. I would say it's most likely a misinterpretation or a poor interpretation of the code on our designer's behalf. And like I said, COR 60, this guy here, whoop, 61, 62, and 63 are basically, well, oh, sorry, not 62 and 63, sorry, 61 and 60, these. Let's get rid of that there. Anyhow, 58, 60, and 61 are all the same. 62 in the amount of $9,460.98. Sorry, I said the wrong amount, didn't I? 62 is $18,935.13. And this is for adding of additional fire alarms, the horns and strobes, in the entire building. This was added scope after MFD did their inspection and required us to do that. And 63 for $18,685.49 is additional exit signage and egress lighting that was added in order for us to receive occupancy from building inspection. I'd like to note that the primary project manager for the general contractor resigned in June, so there were some delays in getting pricing and on this completed work. We're not in every case, but most of these we needed to obtain our occupancy permit and from building inspection and the fire department. Project's been a pleasure to work on, I'll say that. A little challenging at times, but overall a pretty nice project. So, and I'd like to, if anybody's got any questions or
All right, any questions for Steve? Aaron.
sure, I'll go. Yeah, this seems like an oversight. What do we have? Do you know how much of 62 and 63 are actual labor versus product?
I do. Let me pull that Let's see.
I'm just curious about an emergency light, what that actually costs. I mean, I know you got to connect it back to a system and everything, but.
Yeah. Let me just pull that up here. If you want your computer to go fast, it won't. Okay. Let me just put this up here. Okay. Oh, that's not the one I want. I want this form here. So the costs. Oh, I might be on the second page. Yeah. There we go. So we got, let's see. Large tools, so that'd be a scissors lift. That's the only thing that was required, was $500. Let's see. Thought they had that broken up a little differently than they do. The way Forward Electric breaks it out, it's, oh, the labor hours are over here. So on the right-hand side, if we go to the bottom, it
Hey,
should be all
Steve, we're
flat.
still seeing the change order form. Were you meaning to share?
Oh, yeah. So, well, I was trying to, but let's see here. Technical difficulties. So yeah, so the labor, I don't know if it's sharing or not, but the labor cost of that is
You'll have to
11,000.
stop sharing and reshare again, Steve, probably.
Okay, let's try that once. Share.
There you go.
How do we do? This
Good.
is for number 62, 062. So there's $11,000 of labor involved in that. The materials is pretty small amount because, I mean, you're talking about a couple of pieces of signage, but you have to run quite a number of pieces of conduit, and everything's up in the air at this time, and all it's finished also. So this is also including painting and of conduits as needed from the Daniels side. So there's a little cost incurred on the GC also. But this is just the electrical portion here. The labor is this $11,438.99.
That seems right. 113 hours to do that work. Is that what I'm reading?
Yeah. They had multiple people on it. I think it was, refresh my memory if anybody remembers Brian. I mean, I think it was it nine the first time they added some, and then they came through and they added some more again, and then we ended up with 13 added exit devices, I believe, something like that.
I mean, yeah, what I was going at is I know electricians right now are really hard to get with data center projects. So I'm glad we have Forward, a good one. But I'm just wondering if they're trying to get more than necessary because it's an MFD mandate, right? I mean, like you're not going to get occupancy without this, so we can charge a premium for it, but
Sure.
I don't know if that's what's
Yeah.
happening, but that the percentage seems a little off between the actual labor and product, but
Sure.
that's all right though. I don't know. Let's see.
I do question these types of things all the time. I'm just I know there was at least three electricians on site when they were doing this because we were towards the end and we were trying to get occupancy. So, I mean, if you do three guys at, 40, just say 8 hours a day, it doesn't take long, 3 days you've got 400 hours or whatever. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Alder, you get.
I was just wondering if there was any possibility that some of this signage or in any of the other parts of these change orders could have been the result of tenant improvements and thereby chargeable to those tenants.
I think the original plan of the design was to get a building that was basically move in ready for the tenants, if and then they do their own little space inside of the unit, inside of the building. So each, so in order to get occupancy for the entire building, we'd had to have the egress and the fire alarms. Yeah, it's a good question.
Hey, Steve, I didn't quite understand. Your original change order, you had 60, 60, or 59, 60, and 61. You said they're all the same or something, or
58, 60, and 61 are basically the same thing and different. So within the building, we have different vendor groups. So we have vendor group. So I'll just start with 58. Change order request 58, and I can go back to that if you want. Was for vendor group 133. 60 was for vendor group 111, and 61 was for vendor group 113. That's on the plans. That's how they're called out. And so when Forward did the individual change order request, rather than have them all as one, I imagine it was for their accounting. It was easier to keep track of each individual space within their accounting. I'm not sure why they did it in four change order requests.
and that was all, but one of them was for painting, right? The epoxy painting of the concrete.
Yeah, that was 59. And that was the one I started first. Here, I can stop sharing and bring that back up so we can see it.
So the other, when you say, oh, I thought they were lumped in with the other change order items. Like I misunderstood there, I guess.
Yeah. So basically, the epoxy number 59 is on its own,
Yeah.
right?
Right.
This one here, 58, 60, and 61 are all related to each other. So
And
we needed the shunt trip breakers, to the extra wiring to the gas valves, the reset switch, the fire alarm monitoring, and the power to the supervisory alarm, along with a shunt trip breaker. And that was for each one of these.
so all that extra work was for $28,000, roughly. 29.
Let's see, eight, yeah, eight, 19, yeah, 28,000 and some change, yeah.
For s circuit breakers and that all seemed pretty reasonable.
Yeah, so it was a lot of work that had to happen, because it wasn't all right in one location. Unfortunately, and I want to show some pictures also here, if you don't mind.
No, we don't mind.
Just to kind of give you an idea, here's one of them. This you can kind of see this little box over here underneath. This is the hood for the kitchen. If when they put range in here and their cooking equipment,
Yeah.
and this is where the Ansel system, that fire suppression stuff, goes to. So this one's like completely all by itself. Let's see here. Oh, we should resume. Oh, there we go. And then, oh, that's the same one. I wonder if there's a way I can share the entire screen forever.
Anyway, these just weren't
Anyhow.
on they weren't on the original drawings, is what you're saying?
Correct. Correct.
So it was a miss by the design team.
Yes. Yes.
Alder Ugar, you've got a question or
Yeah, I
comment?
just said, carrying on my other one, I guess in the photo, I saw what I expected to see with an Ansel light, which was a hood.
Yeah,
And
here's a
I'm
better
just
one.
so, yeah, I'm just so accustomed to seeing those as a tenant improvement rather than something that's part of the base that I'm just surprised that they didn't get categorized that way.
Yeah, I think that was the design intent on the original plans, to have this all hooked up, this whole hood system hooked up and running as it should. And
Right. So
yeah.
it was assumed how many spaces this
But
was.
they didn't know at the time, apparently, the design team either missed or misinterpreted the fire code that we needed to have these on the shunt trip breakers and the monitoring.
Okay.
Yeah, it seems a little complicated in that they you have to
Uh-oh.
type of work or act. You got to assume that that area right there with the hood is going to be some kind of cooking where you need a hood, I guess, right?
Yes. This is just the South Hall.
So is the gray is the epoxy, is that Steve or?
This was part of the original contract. This you can see the light gray area. That's what was part of the original
Yeah.
contract. Down here on this far end here is what we added, because we ran a new well, yeah, we ran a new water service across
All
there
right.
under the slab, and it came up over here.
All right, any other questions for Steve? If not, we have a motion.
Yeah, I move to approve.
Second.
Got a motion with a second. Do we have any objections? Hearing, seeing. Thank you, Steve. I assume that's a photo from outside.
Yeah, this is one of my favorites. I just thought this was really cool the way it lit up at night.
Yeah.
Public art.
Right.
Thank you, Board. Have a great night, everyone.
Yeah, you too, Steve. Thank you. All righty, moving on to change order number, I mean, change order. Item number 8, we've got change order number 2. Pete Holmgren, I believe.
Yep, I'm here. Can you all hear and see me, hopefully?
Yep.
Great. Yeah, good evening. Change order 2. Let me pull that up here. So we're still on the old cover form. It's just a holdover from when this project started. But and of course the cover form says see attached cover form. But it's just wanted to point out beneath this. So this is the total relative to the contract, a little less than 1%. And if you'll recall from earlier this summer, the change order number 1, which is doing more of the heavy lifting for this contract so far, at just under $200,000, was actually more of a maintenance item that we thought was beneficial to incorporate into this contract for the well rehab and inspection that that a third party ended up doing for us underneath one of the subcontractors on the job. So, anyways, we're sitting at about 3.5%. Over the bid contract with this latest one factored in for about $70,000. So I will get down to kind of the real cover page. We formatted it this way. I know there are some questions about materials, labor. We thought this was useful to break out just a little more explicitly for a variety of change orders and also to help us track the markup because we'd been noticing that a lot of the submittals were very inconsistent with the subcontractors and sometimes even the general contractor for how they marked up appropriate bond. The general contractor's markup of a sub work that they were overseeing, and then the subs themselves were pretty inconsistent. So this was our way of corralling all of that and getting the total of the ones that we were ready to process. Yeah, again, all total, it comes out to about $70,000. I guess some of the major ones, there were some electrical modifications in here. We had a pretty substantial deduct for how we ended up modifying one of our new fill valve assemblies. So there were some adds, but there were some deducts there. It was a net pretty significant deduct. Some were, small like footing modifications. I guess the other most notable one on here is I'm looking through, I guess it's up top. When the drop ceiling was removed and when we were able to inspect it a little more thoroughly, we did find that the structural beams could use some remediation, and the contractor was willing to take that work on for us, which we agreed to do. So that's that was a contractor specific one. But I guess for any line items, I'm happy to answer questions. We've been working with SEH, which is an engineering consultant with a lot of trades that Water Utility doesn't have in-house, but one of their specialties is water plants and water treatment plants in particular. We've co-vetted all of these. I obviously wouldn't take it to the board if I wasn't recommending approval tonight, but again, happy to have further discussion or answer questions on any specific items for the board. And I can zoom in too if that's. I'm sorry, I don't know how this shows up on your screen, but just let me know.
Chair, you're muted.
Hey, could you zoom in a little bit there, Pete? There you go. Thank you. Okay. So I think I may have missed this before, Pete, but is this pretty well finished, this project?
We hope to have beneficial occupancy in the next couple of weeks. There may be a couple more change orders behind this one. I'm hoping this year. So in I guess 2 weeks, I think is our last Board of Public Works for this year. And then I think final completion. The filter tank vendor needs to come out from, I believe, California for one more final inspection and sign off. And that would be in January, at which point we'd push for final completion and contract closeout.
Gotcha. Lisa.
Yeah, I have a question on the section C part here. There's the Piper Power utility installation. That's a big piece of that portion. What and was that, I guess, is that connecting it to the electrical? Was that something not foreseen, or just if you could talk about that again quick.
Definitely. Thank you for the question. So, yeah, I'll admit sometimes the names on that cover form are a bit generic. So the utility installation they're referring to is actually with our collaboration with MGE. We have a backup generator that's owned and maintained by MGE, actually, but we benefit from the backup power there. One of their requirements with some of the new wiring, which we hadn't realized at the time design, involves some additional scope for a dedicated CT cabinet on a pedestal that was kind of wired separately, functioned as a junction box then into our facility. So that needed to be added in order to make sure we could maintain the benefit of that backup generator. But otherwise, I guess that would have been in addition to a more standard utility connection. But yeah,
Right.
that name was a little generic, I'll admit.
Well, thank you.
All righty, any other questions for Pete? If not, do we have a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Got a motion with a second. Do we have any objections? Hearing or seeing none, motion is approved by unanimous consent. Thank you, Pete. Have a good
Okay.
evening.
Thank you all. You too.
Righty. I'm having all sorts of problems here this evening. Sorry about that. Okay, where are we here? Boy,
Think
I
that
get them
brings
on
us
item
to 18.
18. We've got Steve Sontag to talk about Palm Road resurfacing.
Good evening, everyone. Steve Sontag, City Madison Engineering Project Designer for Palm Road. Well, project engineer, I guess. I'm sharing my screen. Hopefully, you guys can hear me. When we came to the board for approving plans and specs, we came with the intent to leave the existing road as is, 44 foot wide. Leave the parking and put in bike lanes where possible. And we thought that would be approved at Transportation Commission that way. But that did not fly at the Transportation Commission. This is a, I forgot what it's called, but this is a road that requires pedestrian bike facilities. I can't remember the name. Jim, could you help me out?
I mean, it is on our All Ages and Abilities bike
That's
network,
it.
at least the draft All Ages and Abilities bike network.
Right. So when we went to the Transportation Commission and tried to present the existing geometrics, what I came to the board with for approving plans and specs, it didn't go over well. So then we sent out a questionnaire to the residents and had a second public informational meeting after the questionnaire, and we asked the residents what proposals they would like. And we started with the original proposal where we presented to them the first time at the public informational meeting, leaving the road existing at 44 foot wide, two 10 foot travel lanes, bike lanes were possible, and parking on both sides. But we could not buffer the bike lanes throughout the project. That was a big issue. So when we sent out a questionnaire asking about the three possible options, I'm just going to share them with you quickly before I give you the geometrics. Here's our option one, option two was removing parking on one side of the road and getting a buffered bike lane on the north side for the duration. And the option three, which was sent to the neighborhood, was removing parking completely, and putting in an off-street bike path. And in front of Senate, we would include a bus loading area, which at the, right now, the current bus loading area in front of Senate actually blocks part of the lane and the bike lane. So when people go by the buses on Flom Road, they're actually going to the other side of the road, passing the buses. So we did a complete redesign, and I'm gonna, which is this after the questionnaire and the public information number two, the questionnaire substantially, everyone who answered the questions were in favor of option three, an off-street bike path and removing parking. So we went back to the board. I'm going back to the design. So original design, we were leaving the road as is at 44 foot wide. Our new proposed, our new geometrics, which were approved at the Transportation Commission, was to provide off-street bike facilities on the north side of Flom Road for the duration of the project. Ties into an existing path on Monona Drive, an 8 foot path on Monona Drive, and installs a new path on the north side off street bike path for the duration of the project, all the way. I'm just going to flip through really quickly, all the way to the frontage road. It varies from 10 feet to 8 feet, but we're trying to maximize it at the 10 foot width throughout. And this proposal and option three, which was presented to the residents and at the second public informational meeting, was overwhelmingly supported. And actually, when we presented to the Transportation Commission the second time, they this passed at the Transportation Commission as well. So as you can see, starting from the east end, which is the frontage road, we have an off-street bike facility pedestrian bike facility and leave the existing sidewalk as is. So we have a existing 5 foot sidewalk, a 6 foot terrace, a 10 foot bike path, an 8 foot terrace, and we have two 13 foot travel lanes throughout the duration of this project. I'm going to scroll through, and I apologize for it being double vision here, but it was the easiest way to show it quickly, so I don't have to page through 14 pages. But as you can see, we did get an off-street bike facility 10 feet at least all the way through till we hit the high school at La Follette, and we narrow it up a tad bit on the north side. We have concrete terrace throughout at the school at request by the school, and a bike facility all the way through La Follette and Senate. And also in front of Senate, we have the off-street bike lane. So on the bottom of the page here, you see two 13-foot lanes. Oops, where am I at the wrong spot? Yeah, that's the bike. Oh, that's okay. Here we go. Two twa nope. Where, oh, here, bottom. Two 10-foot lanes, a 12-foot bus lane, parking lane, a 10-foot terrace, and a 10-foot bike path. So Senate, so this on the very top of the screen is Monona Drive till we hit hit the edge, and then on the bottom is actually in front of Senate where it widens out to allow a bus loading area in front of Senate. And then we continue on to, this is La Follette on the top, and on the bottom it's just continuation. So I apologize for the confusion, but it is, this actually works really well. We ran turning templates, and I think we have, Jim is the last one to give us the approval, but I think we got all the turning templates with larger trucks and buses to fit in all the medians and islands that we have for safe pedestrian crossings at the school, and turning movements at all the intersections accommodate the WB40 and a larger truck turning movements. I'd be happy to answer any other questions if you would like.
All righty. Any questions for Steve? Aaron.
Sure, maybe Harold can actually answer this. Was there any discussion about curbside use, specifically delivery vehicles, in the Transportation Commission?
There's no curb delivery out here. These are all residential houses and schools.
Well, that's
So no,
nice, but
there's no discussion.
Amazon's going to pull up on the curb to deliver a package, though. And DoorDash is going to pull up on the curb to deliver something.
Well, there's only two houses and then an off street side street. So, I mean, except for in front of the school,
Okay.
that was never brought up and never discussed.
Okay. Let Harold go here.
It's all yours, Harold.
Thank you, Chair. This looks great. Thank you, Steve. It's been quite a transformation from the initial plan, so I like it a lot. Question, there's one metro stop on that, or there's multiple metro stops along this stretch, right? How can you highlight where those are and how they are being accommodated?
Yeah, there's one bus stop, I think, just past Camden, right here where my hand is. And so we added or taken out the existing bus stop that is up there between the sidewalk and the existing curb, and we added, I apologize for my dog. There must be something outside. She's barking. And then I believe I can't recall. Oh, yeah. This is in the concrete terrace. I think there's a concrete. This was, I'm not sure where the last bus position, but we did accommodate the bus facilities. So we added concrete bus pads where needed for the bus. I can't recall where bus stop number two is. It's side. No, it was on. Oh, it's down.
I think it's
I think it's right here in
Groveland
Loveland,
by
isn't
the
it?
school. I think
Yes.
it's
Yes. I think the I think they want to stop. So this was the original stop before Groveland, and I think they're going to stop after Groveland. Or if they're keeping, I can't recall now. I apologize for that. This was their original stop right here where the crosshacks is are. So everything on the south was staying as is. And that might just be a removal and replacement of the existing stop.
And are you doing anything on the north side to like accommodate, like where would people wait? How do they cross from
Oh,
the
yes.
path?
I apologize. This is all concrete terrace in front of the school. So all of the terrace between the bike facility, pedestrian, the 8-foot path is all going to be concrete terrace. So wherever the students are waiting for the buses, they'll be in a concrete terrace.
Okay, and at the other location?
There will be, so this bus stop will be a concrete terrace here as well. But all the way, all the terrace in front of the school on both Senate and La Follette will be concrete terrace to accommodate school movements for the pedestrians.
And can you go down to
Okay.
the stop by Camden,
Oh, you
Steve?
did miss.
Right, that's the one I was wondering about.
Yeah, this one here, Camden. Yeah, that's a concrete terrace right by my hand.
It doesn't look like Camden. Oh, there it is.
Camden?
Maybe I'm like it was just taking a second to update. So there is also, so you have the path, and then there's a concrete pad where people can wait, if I'm seeing this right.
Right. And then
Okay.
where there isn't, yeah, the resident houses, that'll all be terrace except for where the buses are, concrete terrace. And then the shaded areas are their new
Driveway
driving.
aprons.
So, yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. I think that should work well. I mean, I think those are probably, I mean, the one at the school is high ridership. I'm sure this one is maybe not the highest ridership. And yeah, so I think that should all work. Have you, is this going to be asphalt or concrete or to be
It's going to be an
determined?
asphalt street.
And a path.
The path will be asphalt as well, but we
Okay.
still have the concrete sidewalk on the north side of the path. So starting at Camden here, this is a 10-foot path. There'll be a 6-foot terrace and then a 5-foot sidewalk. So the majority of the path will be a bike facility where there isn't sidewalk. It'll be kind of a combination in front of the schools. I'll try and get there quick. And I apologize for my quick scrolling. So in front of the school, that'll be a combination. That'll be a concrete bike path through the school. And actually, I don't recall if that was determined yet, if it was going to be concrete or asphalt, because we have to have a buffer. Between, yeah, that's what this is. So we still have the sidewalk, and then this will be an asphalt path. So can you see that where the dash line is? So we have some issues with the school. We need to acquire right away to maintain the existing sidewalk as is. That existing sidewalk is actually on the school property. But this was built back when the city actually owned the schools. So nothing ever really changed for the public right away. So the actual sidewalk itself is on school property, which used to be city property. But now, since we're maintaining a facility in the public right away, we would like to get ownership from the school to have that in the public right away. So we're still working with the school to get a permanent limited easement for the sidewalk facilities.
Okay. One last one. Can you go back to the east end of the street again?
East, there we go.
That commercial property, that's, I was
This
just
one
looking up
here,
what that is. That doesn't seem to exist anymore. That's maybe being redeveloped.
that has been, that is torn down, but they were planning to put, I think, a car wash there, but they have delayed the construction. And we've been working with them, letting them know that there is a new design coming out here for Flom Road. So they've actually delayed construction. We've modified the design to fit it within the existing right of way, so we don't need to, at this time, acquire any right of way from that new development. So there was a lot of tweaking at this intersection here, long tapers, trying to put the multi-use path in the existing right of way and not need to get a permanent limited easement or any easements from this new facility, which has been delayed at this time. But I think they do plan to eventually put in a car wash here. So the existing gas station has two driveways. The new facility will only have this driveway on the west end of the lot. It will not have the second driveway there. That's when you don't see a driveway pulling
Well,
out.
that's good. That reduces one conflict point, and then I guess you're probably going to put green paint down there to avoid issues with turning cars going across and the bike path.
Yeah, and it was so close to that intersection, so it was a good call when they did this redevelopment. I think there was an agreement made that we will not put a second driveway in there.
Okay. All right. That's all I had. Very nice. Thank you.
Lisa.
Welcome.
Yeah, this question might be a little premature, I'm not sure, but I'm just looking at sorry, excuse me. So when I'm looking at this, it looks like the bike path, it's going to ramp up and then be level with the sidewalk, and there's like the concrete terrace, the bike path, the grass terrace, the sidewalk, and that's all going to be one level. Or
It's all gonna be what?
is there, it's all going to
The
be level, like, or I'm just thinking like at Segoe, right, where
well,
there's actually the
it's not like
concrete
that. This is an
curb up a little
off-street
bit.
facility, so it'll have slope towards the curb from the sidewalk all the way through to the curb. So there'll be a 2% or 1.5 foot percent slope on the sidewalk, a 4% terrace, a 1.5 slope on the bike facility, and then a 4 foot slope, 4% slope in the terrace, and then the curb. So this is
So I
kind
just,
of like if you've been on Broome Street, there's a bike facility there. On Wilson Street, there's a new bike facility. On Doty Street, it's going to be very similar to what you see on those. It's
Okay,
not
so
going to be
I'm
what
just wondering,
you
like,
see
the
on.
so the separation between the terrace and the bike path will basically be pavement type and the slope.
I think
No,
in
the
most
separation.
places it'll be grass,
It's
except down by the
grass.
school.
Oh, okay. All right. Nope, that I thought it was all paved, but you did say at the school. So that makes
No,
okay,
just by
thanks.
the school. Yeah.
Okay, which is understandable. Okay, thanks.
Hey, Steve, since there's so few residents on this street, do you recall why there was parking proposed in the first place?
Well, this was built in the 60s, so I think we always had parking.
Yeah, I think the answer to that is that's what's there now, primarily. And it started as a resurfacing project. And then, we decided to do all of the utilities, and this became a, once in several decades project. So as a, we should probably do the bike facility now too. Type snowball effect on us.
That makes sense. Any other questions for Steve? If not, do we have a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Got a motion with a second. We have any objections? Hearing or seeing none, motion is approved by unanimous consent. Thank you, Steve.
Great, thank you. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, item number 19. Do we have any appeals regarding pre-qualifications of contractors?
We do not.
All righty. Finally, I got everything organized and a good connection. And do we have a motion to adjourn? Just in time.
Motion to adjourn.
I can.
Thank you. Good night, everybody. Sorry for the delays on my part.
Oh, we made it through.
For our next
It's all
meeting.
good.